This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3741 for Monday, the 5th of December, 2022. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for November 2022. It is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 55 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in November 2022.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today it's community news for November 2022. Joining me as ever is...
pause. Oh, it'll be cut out by...
Truncate silence, dude.
Truncate silence.
Right, take two.
No, leave it. I was having difficulty remembering who I was, then I looked over and I'd written it on the screen there, so... This is... It's not true, but it's funny. This is Dave Morris, who's sort of slightly out of it in Edinburgh.
Oh, God. All right, before we start, we have a call for shows open. There is a free slot this week, as in 2 days' time, free slot. Remember, HPR is a community podcast. I can't stress this enough. It's not a sit back and relax and sure, it'll be grand. It's not a Spotify podcast, although we're probably on Spotify. It's not where you sit back and there's Patreon people and there's a team of people behind us. There's you and there's us. So you need to record a show and send it in to us. If you don't know what to record, go, hi, I'm a listener. I've been listening for blah, 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 how long? And this is stuff about me, particularly related to tech. And then we, Dave and I, will make sure that we supply you with suggestions for other shows. And then it's very simple. Yeah. We've got a lot of shows from the same hosts all this year. So now... we're coming up to the end of the year. Your New Year's resolution for January 2022 was record a show for HPR. Get your finger out and do that. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Goodbye.
Yes, I echo that.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, HPR is a community podcast where the shows are submitted by people like you. And one of the hosts that stood up to the plate was... will be introduced by Dave.
We had a new host this month, and the name is, I believe, I haven't actually heard this person pronounce their own
name. No, they forgot to introduce themselves.
We'll ask them to do that in the future, but I read it as King Easy. So, yeah. Looks a bit like King Wheezy, but there you go. King Easy. So we'll be King Easy, that could be a later.
Super. So what we do here on this show is Dave and I are the janitors here on HPR. We put down our mops for a while and have a quick chit chat about the goings on, the shows that were posted, anything else that we've been working on or people have been talking to us about or updates. So before, without further ado, let's talk about last month's show, starting with video editing with Shotcut on a low-end PC by Monsieur X.
Nice to hear Mr. X again. And this is quite interesting. I never heard of this particular bit of software. It sounds quite intriguing. I must go and look. I've meant to, but I haven't done it. I have been playing with Caden Live recently, trying to stick together things that people send me on Telegram. But maybe Shotcut's easier.
I've used it in the past, but from what Mr. X says, it may have improved significantly. So we'll go with that. I'm also explaining the use of a video editor on an audio podcast might seem a bit strange, but this is the man who was able to teach people how to solder using a podcast. So
he did too, yeah.
He did, actually.
That was a hell of an achievement, that one.
Yeah. So did we have any comments on that one, Dave? No. Commenters are obviously too busy recording shows, which is excellent. Making Ansible playbooks to configure single sign-on for popular open source applications. Now, this is one that I'm, this is by Jeroen, fellow Nederlander, and He has a way there to, he currently supports Bitwarden, Jenkins, GitLab, Keycloak, Nextcloud, Odo, XWiki, and Zebix. Fantastic little project there. Not something that I'm going to be using now, but it is something that I have in my to-do list.
Yeah. I don't really need single sign-on on my systems here because it's just me. but it's a fascinating thing. I was involved in this at work, and we didn't do anything like that. So it was most interesting. Could have been a bit longer. I mean, I'm not complaining. But a little bit more. I wrote down. Oh, I wish I'd heard more about this. It sounded fascinating. But anyway, excellent. Thanks for the show.
Yeah, actually, good idea there, Jeroen. And show basically, yeah, a bit more info on it would be great. Maybe how to set it up for Nextcloud. That might be a good, taking as an example.
That is an application, isn't it? Yeah, for single sign-on. Yeah, good.
Following day, we had HPR News, InfoSec, the language of security by some guy on the internet. That was me in the HPR helicopter. Okay, fine.
There was some teletype in the background. You were emulating.
Thank you, Dave. This is what typo squatting is and how spammers use it. I did come across an article about this, but it is... It's actually scary, this. There is really, with some of the typesets, there is no way to know that it's not the website that you think it's going to be.
Yeah. It used to be bad in the early days because you could use different fonts and stuff, I think, couldn't you? Or you could rely on the font. But now that Unicode's here, it really can be anything, can't it?
Yeah.
So, yes, we had a comment. Shall I start the comments?
Please,
sends in a message, another form of typo squatting, and mentions another way of typo squatting and sends a YouTube link, which I have to confess I haven't actually looked at, but something we should all check out.
So the following day, we had the next in our DOS series by Ahuka, practicing practicing batch files with Echo. You can see how pathetically poor we are at podcasting, Dave. I mean, surely the people listening can join in
and show
better.
Us the way.
Come on, we're bringing this down here. Anyway, DOS is a general algorithm for disk operating system. Anyway, this is part of the DOS series, and this is using the echo command in batch files, which I have used quite a lot in the day. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's good to know. Very good to know. It's good. No comments on this one, but I think we all appreciate it very much.
And the following day, we had the community news where Archer72 is calling us a weirdo, apparently. Thank you very much. keep sending the shows in, I don't mind. Weirdos. Ken, great t-shirt idea. Hang around HBR and become a weirdo. Yeah.
This was some guy on the internet's comments about he's involved with HBR, he's become a weirdo to all his friends or something to that effect, which I loved. Absolutely brilliant.
Bash snippet plurals in messages, how to use English singular plural words in messages. And I'm sure the audience out there can only ascribe this to one person. So.
who the hell would do this as a show? Yes, next will be how I cut my fingernails.
Ron says, great tip. I have used GNU getText utilities in projects. I didn't realize it was available in Bash. I understand that irritating feeling when seeing one file's processed or whatever object action is happening. I often put the plural in parentheses, so it's one file, brackets s, processed. Do like your script, Dave, but will probably take advantage of ngetText if it is already on my machine. However, your bash function would be more portable if writing the script for wider distribution.
Good. So I said in reply, thanks, Ron. I also encountered getText before, but I'd never had any need to use it. I was surprised and pleased to find a command line interface to the package as well and hoped it might be of interest. I have used the Perl module, which is quite complex. Lingua en inflect, now replaced by lingua en inflection, which is very comprehensive. It even goes as far as brother and brethren in terms of plurals. But life's too short. Dear brethren, we are gathered here.
Right. Yes, you are not alone, Dave. You are not alone. More HPR news for the community. And I think some guy on the internet is looking for a catchy title for these things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one was about threat analysis, your attack surface, and user space, where Netflix cracks down on freeloaders and Samsung implements a private blockchain to link devices, as well as talking about the Juno tablet, which was actually a nice addition to the shows.
Yeah, it's good. The details of the Juno tablet looked intriguing.
So there were no comments on that one. The next day we had Archer 72, my top Android applications. There were AIO Launcher, which I haven't tried. I don't want to mess with launchers, to be brutally honest with you. Termux, which I use all the time. QK SMS Messenger, which I don't use SMSs that much. I don't use SMS a lot anymore. Firefox, Opera, Brave, ClearScan, PDF Scanner, and Optical Character Recognition, which has got a donation option. AtenaPod, Tusky, K9, Viber. What did we say Viber was again? I remember looking at it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Audio recorder, Explore, dual pin file manager, Libre ebook reader, and a multi timer, and of course the US ham radio bands. So Viper for mobile is desktop. Your desktop synced to your mobile account to activate Viper features. Yeah, it seems to be a sort of messaging application, multi platform, always synced. Okay, I'd start off.
Yeah, maybe I did look at it because I use KDE Connect. So when things happen on my phone, I get pop-ups on my Linux workstation screen and that type of stuff. You can shunt files around and stuff. It's worth looking at that, maybe just see if it's any better. But yeah, interesting.
So the following day was another Android one from me, OSM Android Public Transport. And I was showing you how to use OSM Android, how to display transit routes, so public transport in any given location, which I've used loads since then.
Yeah. It looks really intriguing. I did have a look on the version I have installed here, and it tells me where the bus stops are and which buses you can catch there and stuff. So yeah, it's looking good.
Yeah, it works for trains as well and the like. Mm-hmm. The thing I hate about buses, other than being buses, is that you go to a new location. If you're taking a tram, the tram is following the lines. It can't deviate off. You know what I mean? A train follows the line. It can't deviate off. But sure as anything, you need to get off at bus stop C, yeah? And you're traveling along and it's bus stop A and then bus stop B, and then all of a sudden you're at bus stop D because there's roadworks. And then you're going, is this bus stop D or did I miss that? And then you're watching all the advertisements going around on the thing. And then you see, oh, it's bus stop E coming up. So now you're two bus stops further down. So that's why this sort of thing is absolutely perfect. That's where the bus stop is. That's where it should be. And if they don't stop, then I can shout at them.
Yeah. I have done that with, I think it was OpenStreetMap, because you can track your movements with it, can't you? Can you actually see where are in real time? Because, I've been to the wild parts of Edinburgh and not knowing where to get off for where I want to be for that, and knowing approximately where it should be. And, when looking out the window, you can't work it out, but looking at your phone, you can say, it should be at this junction here, that type of thing. It's really useful for that. So, very cool. So it's my turn to do a comment, I think. We have one from Kevin O'Brien, who says, useful and timely. Good show with useful information. We need to do everything to help people use public transportation. Something I saw on the internet, a developed country is not one where the poor drive cars, is one where the rich use public transportation.
Very good. That's a t-shirt right there.
Indeed.
Following day, Breaches Ever Reaching by Lurking Prion, a short episode about the reaching effects of breaches and forgotten accounts. This is, this was a bit of an eye-opener to me, I have to admit. So, yeah, quite good. Find out, I imagine all the accounts that have been breached over time.
I still occasionally get people probing my mail on the basis that they have access to a password I had on an old system. I can't remember what it was even now. Something ages and ages ago. I can't remember. It's not coming to mind. But they know the password because I haven't used the account for years, and I've deleted the account, and the password was a 30-character one, and but. It still haunts me, you know. There's no danger there at all, but these bums are still out there trying to wind me up about it, you know.
Yep. So there was one comment on that by Hammer On. Very good. Old Live Journal. I used to love Live Journal. Years ago, they changed ownership and terms of service. I did not agree with the new terms of service, and I wanted to delete my account, but I cannot access this unless I agree to the changed terms of service first. So the account sits dormant. Anyone have any thoughts on this? Actually, yes. You write a letter on paper to them, and you ask them to shut your account. Ideally, you write a letter from a European country and you ask them to shut your account. If you're in a European country, you have a lot more control because you can contact the privacy officer directly. Now, they may be requiring you to prove that you are who you say you are. I once was trying to shut an account because they had my email address, and in order to lodge the complaint, they needed my email address, my home phone number, my living address, a copy of my passport.
What?
Yeah, exactly. So a quick call to the privacy officer put that one to bed.
Yeah, wow. These people are always grabbing the sort of data. Because data is money these days, isn't it?
Indeed. Following day, expanding your file system with LVM, which is Linux Volume Manager. Rowan describes adding a new hard drive to his work computer and expanding his file system. And this had me worried, very worried. Because, he has a hard disk, and then he added another hard disk, and then he made one big hard disk of both. So now, if either hard disk goes, you've lost both hard disks. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit paranoid about that, but yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, we used it at work way back, and then we didn't use that anymore. We used alternatives, but I have set it up on a machine here in the past, but the machine became unusable in the end. Nothing to do with that, but yeah, I'm happier just with individual discs, to be honest, at the moment. So yeah, I would have some qualms. You'd need some pretty spectacular backups and raiding and stuff to be happy about it, I would think.
Yeah, but on the other hand, what's a 256 disc versus a 500 disc? It's like two 256 discs together. So I was thinking about that. Oh no, you shouldn't do that. But then on the other hand, yeah, you're not doubling your risk, I suppose. You're increasing your risk by doing it. But on the other hand, if you've got a good backup in place, you've got a good backup in place for everything. Does it matter?
It does give you some advantages in having a sort of potentially infinite amount of disk, you know. Not infinite really, but something that can just grow and grow as you need it to. But I have mixed feelings about it, to be honest.
But these young ones, Dave, Live free.
Yeah. So we have a... It's my turn to do a comment, isn't it?
Please, yeah. Yep.
ZenFloater2 says, love server problems. I run OpenBSD now for about 14 years. Loved your show. Reminded me somewhat of my own problems. All right, cool.
Next day we had, by BNRC, a Pinebook Pro review. And if I'm not mistaken, sneaky old BSD popped its nose in here as well.
As it does.
Yes. Yeah. Ah, there it is. BSD. Yeah. I think we're being taken over by BSD, Dave.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have alternatives.
True. At least the submit yields, you know.
True. This was a doozy of a show. It was massively long and full of excellent detail. It I got the message that Pinebook Pro is for hackers. I think he says it in the almost exactly that way. Not really a daily use machine. So, yeah, I'm slightly tempted, but finally I don't have enough hours in the day these days.
So, well, maybe I have a Pinebook here if you want that. The keyboard's atrocious, but if you want it for hacking, feel free to have it. I can send it over. Have a think. Have a think, Dave. Anyway, there are lots of comments on this one. Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, sorry. No, it was your turn, actually, to do... Was it? I thought I did one on the last show.
ZenFloater2 said, I like the show. I like the show, and I'm a squirrel who lives in a magical forest in Oklahoma, and I use a $149 Chromebook for my main rig now. There should be a segment of the human race which suffers like this for fun.
Excellent comment.
Oh, God.
And one of Spoons comes in with a comment saying programmable ROM.
No, you can't introduce them as one of Spoons. It's one of Spoons.
I just don't know what the game is that you play with that. Anyway, programmable ROM. I played with Odroids and the Ubuntu phone, then compiled Lineage OS and flashed Android, so I recognized the territory. I've been tempted by bus pirates and oscilloscopes, but I remember that RISC-V devices are on the horizon, so maybe I should read through those instruction sets and avoid the hard work.
And B says, Rockchip. Thanks for the benchmarking. Hopefully they'll release an updated version board with RK3588 and more RAM.
Interesting, yeah. Sun Tzu says, available distros. Hi, nice show. Thanks, therefore. You mentioned the Linux kernel may handle the CPU setup better than BSDs. So I want to mention the Slackware Arch 64, which occasionally supports the Pinebook. Slackware is relative BSD, like it uses SysV in it instead of systemd, for example, and you could get the advantage of the Linux kernel's hardware compatibility. Long story short, if you'd like to check it out, here is the link, and here's a link to Slackware and the Pinebook Pro. It's currently only the current version, but I run it on my Raspberry Pi 4. It's not broken until I ran it. Sun Tzu.
Yeah. Okay, the following day we had Contributing to Super Tux Cart by Celeste and loads of links about the game, and they were explaining the workflow to contribute to a FLOSS game with some media assets. Not immediately the first thing that jumps out at one, but yep.
Yeah, it's good to know.
And DNT says, Car Rambling, great show. It's a good idea to record a show by rambling during your drive. Perhaps even a car rambling series would be worth thinking about. Absolutely.
Yeah. I made a note that it was recorded while driving. I'm always surprised people can sound, you know, reasonable and have joined together thoughts under those circumstances. I can't do the joined together just sitting here in a chair.
As I take the train to work, I'm I'm a bit loath to do a HBR show. Hi, everybody. It's the Tiger Public Radio, blah, 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 blah.
Turns around to look.
people do their makeup. I've seen loads of strange things. I've seen people changing from work clothes to party clothes in the train. All right.
Fun times, eh?
Yeah. How are you going to do that bit? Ah, okay. Very clever. Clinton Roy, is it your go or my go, Dave? I'll do it.
I think it's yours, actually, because I did the last one.
Damn, question mark. Presumably referring to dikes and other water retention stuff. I really need to find a good way of keeping notes about podcasts I listen to on the go. This was an episode with some backstory on Hoover Dam. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Oh, actually... He also said, damn.
No, okay. It was interesting. When I took my kids to America, 2011 it was, one of the bits that we drove around was through Arizona from Las Vegas to the Grand Canyon. And we sort of fiddled around there a bit, followed Route 66 as a hooker did. And so we saw some of those sorts of areas, but not enough. I would love to see more. So I was looking at the map and I understood where he was talking about when he was... I love these travel shows, actually, because I always have to run to a map and gaze at the places he's talking about and, you know, see if I get some pictures or whatever. And it is a great insight into the journey that he's taking. Excellent stuff.
Living vicariously through someone else. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speech recognition in Caden Live. And this was done by DNT. And how to get speech recognition to describe... we could do some of that here. How to get some speech recognition to transcribe your clips in Caden Live. And you do the first comment.
So it's from Celeste, who said, didn't know the feature. Thanks, I completely missed this new feature. Caden Live has improved so much in the last years. But minute 440, yep, it's both free as in price, both Libra open source.
And the next comment was by DNT replying, both Libra and open source. Yes, I used abundance of caution here, to be honest. I only assume... Caden Live is open source, let alone free software. So I'm going to try not to walk around saying things are free software. I once heard a very well-meaning person say that Adobe Bridge was free, as in speech software. This was in Portuguese, in which there can be no ambiguity between free as in beer and free as in speech. I nearly fell out of my chair. Thanks for your comment, Celeste.
Yeah. The ambiguity of English in this respect is unfortunate.
To be honest, the only reason we're with this problem, and I've done a show about this, the only reason we have this problem is because somebody thought it was funny. And it was a stupid name to pick. It's a bug, and it's a waste of time. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Anybody who says the argument about... Oh, it only takes 5 minutes to explain to somebody about it. Yeah, but in that 5 minutes, you've proven yourself to be a plonker. Yeah. Whereas you could be actually explaining how important the whole free software is. If you added two additional letters, freedom software. Why, hell, I surely do understand why that's an important thing. Thank you very much. I can get it into my head what type of software it is. No, it has to be a joke.
Yeah, I know.
And I also think that with naming of projects, for example, I won't go into them, but this is a rant. It's just you're making it more difficult to find your project. You're making it more difficult for people. You're putting time and effort into something, and you're making it more difficult. There's enough barriers in our way without all the crap that we're putting on top ourselves.
Yes. I have been guilty of naming projects stupid names that seemed like a good joke at the time, but a year down the road, you are very, very cringy and scared of ever mentioning it again. And don't do it. That's the message.
And it's hard to name projects, but something as important as that, then outsource it to somebody. Yep. It's not just it's not just free libre software. There's somebody has named a kitchen appliance a cooker. Now, Dave, what would you think that would be, a cooker?
Something that cooks, I would imagine.
Exactly. It's a kitchen appliance, all right, but not an oven or a cooker, which is the generic name for that item in which you bake something in every Irish kitchen. No, it's a water tap that provides you with scalding hot water when you need it and hot and cold water. And they call it a cooker because they're freaking morons, Dave.
Yes.
And
I
I could
looked at
understand if it was named like that back in the 1800s before we had a thing called the internet, but they knew it would have zero Google ability, and yet they named it that.
Should have called it
Funny
Old
enough,
Faithful or something.
yes, exactly. Hot water tap, yeah. TM.
Careful now, it's bloody hot.
Anyway. Oh, that was a bit of a rant. Oh, and by the way, if you completely disagree with anything I'm saying and you hate my guts right now, pause, record a show, and send it in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Excellent.
Next one, my experience owning an Atari Jaguar. And I thought, well, this was going to be one of the your car series ones, where my first car was an Atari Jaguar. But actually, no. It turned out to be a computer.
Yeah, not heard of this one at all.
No.
But then I wouldn't have done really, because I'm not into that sort of thing. But even my son hasn't ever mentioned it.
Never heard of it, actually.
Sounds very cool. These things, when you look at them closely, are rather cleverly built and have interesting features and stuff. Yeah, so
Yep.
it's good to
So
know.
it's a home video console for anybody not knowing. So there's an awful lot since I've moved to Mass or been on Mastodon. A lot of people are into retro gaming and restoring these consoles. That and cats appear to be everywhere.
Yeah. I joined my daughters on Mastodon now, and we both joined Cats of Mastodon, and you get absolutely drowned by cat pictures. So yeah, cool.
Is she on my Owes Me a Show list?
She kept talking about how she was going to do a show actually,
well, that's it.
earlier this year, but then she got distracted. I don't know. I shall Next time I see her, which will be at Christmas, I will say to her, about doing that show you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. We should, if you accidentally ping her and with my handle on there, I can be sure to remind her on a regular basis.
Yes, she might never speak to me again.
See, it's a win-win. Smite, the battleground of the gods. And I was listening to this while I was cleaning out the turf bunker for my mother. And I was
Gosh.
wondering, should I do a show about turf? Actually, but I don't know. Probably yes, if I was, now that I hear myself
Well,
saying it, yeah.
yeah. I mean, I know the basic principles of turf fires and stuff like that, because I come from that era. But it would be fascinating to know more.
Yep, I'll have a think the next time I'm back in Paddyland. Lurking Prion said, "Let's do a show. Hit me up and let's do a show or six."
Cool. Yes. And some guy on the internet says, "Sure, I'm game. Are you on Element Stroke Matrix, the HPR room? I'm also on Mastodon. We can use the HPR Mumble server to record." So I know
Super.
that, since then, Lurking Brian is on Mastodon, and so hopefully there will be an interesting show coming from the two of them in due course.
So, INET-D, this internet super server, proving that Slackware is an inferior operating system. See, Dave. See what it did there, Dave. If that
Oh,
doesn't get the
I
Slackware people out of
can hear
there.
people typing already.
Already, yeah. I don't want them typing. I want them recording.
Writing the notes that they're going to send.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. INET-D, the internet super server, and I had never really considered this so much, but this actually convinced me there are loads of occasions where I would use this.
Yep. It's actually an amazing idea, I found. It. I was had a brief conversation with Binarsi about this. Sorry, I'm coughing.
Yeah.
Put the mute on. We had an equivalent of INET-D on the BMS system that I managed, and mm-hmm. I used that a fair bit for all manner of things. So you could ask it for a password, and there was a password generator behind a port, one of the range above the normal mm-hmm. port range, and so you can get a password from it, and you could do. It was also used as part of the student registration system. They would come, new students would arrive on campus. They would walk up to a PC. They would hit something or other to start up an application, and the application let them enter their details and get stuff about their login and stuff and set a password. And that was all done by a program running on the Windows machine, which sent a blob of data to an INET-D port for the specific purpose. It was just a single packet this thing received, and it sent back an acknowledgement and an okay when it had done the business. And that was so easy to write compared to mm-hmm. other things. It was lovely. It was really good. So, yeah, I love it. It's a really nice thing.
So what it does is it makes writing programs that talk over the network super easy. So rather than having to have a web server and all sorts, and it also goes over SSL. No doubt you send passwords over SSL, Dave, because sending them clear text over the network would be a bit silly.
But they were a single-use password, and they had to change them and stuff. But yeah.
All right, yeah.
It was the days. It was the 1980s, 90s. But yeah,
Telnet was everywhere. The best. Yeah.
We were Telnet in everywhere. Yeah, merrily.
Sinza says, great show. I always like your shows, but I was wanting to work with NetBSD INET-D, which seems to be similar to OpenBSD cousin for a personal project of mine. This show came at the right time and I learned a lot. See, Dave, it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy by the BSDers.
The BSD is at the gates.
I mean, where are all these Arch Linux people when you need them?
And all these VMS people, that's what I want to find.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Whew. Zenfloater2, love this, he says. Love OpenBSD. Try Figuator sometime. Smiley face. I think that's how you pronounce it, isn't it? Yeah, that's how he pronounced it, as I recall. Figuator.
Which is an OpenBSD 7.2, first released in October 3rd. That can't be right. I mean, it is what it is. It's an OpenBSD version. Mm-hmm. So the next one is the i3 Tiling Window Manager, again, from Archer72. Lots of the same names coming up, people. Lots of the same names. These people are not paid professional hosts, yeah? They're fellow people who have also busy lives, who also have time to have taken a few minutes out to record a show. Yeah? Please share the burden. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Absolutely.
i3 is a lightweight tiling window manager. And by tiling window manager, we mean, Dave?
We mean one where you say, give me a window, and it appears on your screen, and then you say, give me another window, and it slots itself alongside, and another window, and that slots, and they do things like sizing, so they fill the space up and other fun things like that. Yeah. They're cool. That's pretty much what they all did back in the day, I think, didn't they? I think I remember using TWM and things like that. Is that not a window? Is that not a tiling thing?
Yeah, could be. They don't overlap. So nothing is hidden. Mm-hmm. It's all right there.
Yeah. It's cool.
It is.
I did not know that you could run i3 with KDE. That was a revelation. And I've got a note to myself to try some of this to see, because I have the case where I have 8 virtual desktops and 2 monitors, so that's mm-hmm. 16 desktops, and mostly they just have one thing on them. But when I want to have a bunch of things, it's such a pain to have to lay them out so that this one takes half the screen and that one takes the rest of the screen and whatever. It'd be lovely if you could just say, right, you do sit over there and you share the space with it and stuff, and it would just happen automatically. So don't know if I'm expecting too much here, but it would be great.
Yeah. Following day, we had a show by Klatu, and it was either going to be Klatu or you that did the show about meta syntactic words. Blah, 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 literally.
Cool.
And having no clue what a meta syntactic word was, I was very interested in hearing the show. And it's about this Foo Bar Baz thing, which I had been embarrassingly long time wondering what the hell Foo Bar Baz was. And it's very difficult to search for because all example programs have got Foo Bar Baz in it. And it was only on one of the GNU World Order shows that Klatu mentioned in passing, oh yeah, the Foo Bar Baz is just a placeholder, you know, that you use like example.com for a domain name when running a program. Ah, thank you. And this show explains that. So this will now be linked anytime I need to explain Foo Bar Baz or blah.
No, it's great. It is important. I mean, it's always been an issue with writing documentation. One of the things, my first job in IT was one where I did documentation, and you had to write things like the command is such and such a thing, and you had to sort of put a token that meant here's where you put the variable item that you want to work with. And we spent a lot of time in that department working out what was the best way of signifying this. We ended up using, because this was in the days of typing, and we got the typist to put sort of less than signs around it, diamond brackets, as we tended to call them, around a word that says, you know, name of
your word here,
program or something. Yeah. And but yeah, so that has been a problem, to have some meta syntactic symbol that you can use in that context. So it is an important thing. I think British English speakers tend not to use Foo Bar Baz, at least in my experience. They tend to use other more silly words, you know, like apple, carrot, banana or something. The things I've seen documented have used those sorts of things. And there's a thing about the Brits have got this thing about rhubarb. For some reason,
yeah,
or other,
rhubarb
means is a sort of meta syntactic word, and it means just sort of generic noises that people make, or maybe speech that's indistinct or something, which is what blah 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 really is, indistinct speech.
No. Rhubarb has a history, because it's used in the theater. It gives that murmuring sound in the background where people are having a conversation, and you want there to be a general feeling that people are having a conversation. So you talk rhubarb, 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 and it gives the various different tones, and when it interacts, it sounds remarkably like people are having genuine conversations. Or that could be just something I made up, a myth. Who knows? The only way to know is somebody to research it and record a show about it.
Indeed. Yes. The I'm looking forward to the metasyntactic rhubarb show very soon.
Anyway, I've just found a bolt underneath my chair, which I don't know if I should be worried about or not.
It's not the famous bolt from Abu, is it?
Okay. Review of Kobo Libre H20 e-reader. Yes. This is a good show, and I have a version of this, I think, or something from the same family.
Yeah, I knew of them. I knew the name, but I've never researched them. I don't think the Libre H2O is available
anymore,
but there's quite a range of others. In fact, I mentioned it to my family, saying there's one called the Kobo Clara, and just by the by, that's my daughter's name. So she's going to ask for one soon, I'm sure.
I think that's the one I have, and it's possible to you know, put your own firmware and stuff on them. But it's also just simpler to come up with a random email address and register the one time, and then, you know, turn off Wi-Fi after that.
Yeah. But I'm intrigued to find out more about it, actually, because a reading tablet would be nice for the same reasons that Rome speaks about.
Yeah, I prefer a book myself, but on the other hand, there, if you're going traveling or wherever, it's nice to have all the books available.
Yep.
Anywho, no comments on that as yet. It was late in the month, so people may need some time to respond. And the following day we had, and the last one, was the K My Money on KDE. This was the new show by King Hei Z. And the only way to correct our pronunciation of that name is to send in another show where you refer to the correct pronunciation.
Yes, indeed.
And use scheduled tasks, jump from 2 to 3 because 3 had a corruption in the recording. Okay. This was interesting. I think, though, due to the way tax, there's no pay as you earn tax in the US, as far as I understand it. People need this a lot more than other European countries, where, at least in my experience, where your tax is assumed is paid at source. So there's a lot less tax to be done. And although this was related to checks as well. I haven't seen the checks since I left Ireland.
Yeah. That's very true. It's all about waving cards at things these days, or phones or something. But still, it's I have no real need for such a thing anymore. But it does sound quite interesting. The fact that it knows you can tell it about recurrent payments and that type of thing would be very helpful. You know, the thing that reminds you to pay something if you don't want to set up some sort of standing order or direct debit or those types of things. That sounds intriguing. It just so happened that I was listening to GNU World Order today. In fact, I'm way behind with all my podcasts, and Clatu was talking about K-My Money in his list of packages as he got up to it, and he was saying that if you're setting it up for New Zealand, it doesn't know about New Zealand or Australia, which caused me some puzzlement, I have to say. I have been there quite a long time, you know.
Well, you know, apparently it's an internet myth that is it New Zealand doesn't exist, or is that is that Norway or somewhere?
Yeah. It's not an important factor, but it's just intriguing.
Okay, but cool show. Taking an application, reviewing it, sending it in. Brilliant idea. Love it.
Absolutely.
And that brings us back to the comments from last 6 comments on 5 previous shows. The Clatu had a show about Spectrogram, and Mr. X says, what a great tip. Hi, Clatu. I just wanted to say I was intrigued by this podcast. By the way, this is about Audacity, the function of a spectrogram in Audacity. Continuing on, intrigued by this podcast, and I took note to try this out when I get a spare 5 minutes. I just opened my most recent show into Audacity and selected the spectrogram view. The results are amazing, and any involuntary noises become so much more visible, making them easy to pick out and remove. I will be sure to use this in future shows. Thanks again for another brilliant show. Cheers, Mr. X.
Very cool. The some of the comments in this list, just between you and me, Ken, are highlighted in green, meaning we read them last time, but I think it got it wrong. My algorithm went a tiny bit haywire, because we had comments in at funny times, or we recorded at a funny time or something. Anyway, so I think the one from Bin RC had already been dealt with.
Oh, okay.
But the comment from Zenfloater on Zenfloater 2 show about cars from DNT He says, pedestrians and cyclists. Recently, I heard a council person here in Kansas City, which is in, what is Kansas? I don't know. What does MO stand for? I can't remember that one. Anyway, whatever that
Missouri,
is.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
There's, I think Kansas spreads, there's a Kansas City on one side and Kansas City on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Spring.
Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. No, it's the same city. It's just on different sides of the river, different states.
I thought it was like there's always a city called such and such in every state. But anyway, having heard here in Kansas City talk about how these bigger vehicles that are replacing cars are also far more likely to kill a pedestrian or a cyclist in a collision, say nothing of squirrels. I'd never considered that. They're designed with little regard for what might be in their path. Thanks for putting together this show and stay safe out there. I think we read all the other ones as far as I can recall.
Sorry, was just putting that bolt back in and then the chair fell down, hit the washing machine. Had all sorts of stuff just happened.
All right. So sort of Laurel and Hardy type.
Yeah, very much, yeah. Except if it broke the washing machine, I could get out of this house. I'll tell you that for another. So we're all done. Mail list discussions. Let's see what chats we have. 'Twas quiet on the mail list this month. Usually that means there's going to be a shitstorm next month.
Yes, yes, yes. Just some guy talking about the community news, that's all.
Yeah.
Always keeps popping up, that guy. So, yeah, that was... easy.
So then, yeah, go on, fire hedge, take that.
I was going to say that we can move on to any other business if you're up for it. And one of the subjects that I added this time was about the HBR RSS feeds and HTTPS links. And the question came up in November, I say, regarding the HBR RSS feeds. All of the URLs in these feeds use HTTP as opposed to HTTPS. Although this may seem odd, this is a fairly common thing to do because the RSS standard, such as it is, does not cater for HTTPS links. There is a concern that passing an RSS feed with such links to a validator, such as the W3C feed validation thing, will result in it being marked as invalid. I don't know that is necessarily true, but it's a thing that could happen, and there are other validators that might reject them. So that's why we've stayed as we started. Is that right, Ken?
Yeah, pretty much. But the vast majority of new podcast players switch to assume that there's a HTTPS link available, and they use that. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I don't know. I'm just wanted to inform people. That's why it is. If you have comments or you have a huge objection to us, then let us know and we'll see.
Yeah. We can certainly look into it. But I was not aware that that was the case. I knew RSS was a pretty sort of hazy standard. Or non-existent even, but I wasn't quite clear how little had been done to sort of ratify it in the time since it was invented. So yeah, that was a bit disappointing actually. But there you go.
Yep, that's it.
So the other AOB thing is just to say that the process of updating the various shows that I've mentioned every month is progressing. Managed to do 230 in November because I upped the rate to doing 10 a day because I realized if I did that, we would actually have it finished by the end of December, assuming I don't get run over by a Santa Claus or something. So, looking like the 29th or 30th of December is the end day. So it's all chugging away.
No doubt I'll find something else for you to be doing, Dave. Don't you worry.
I tend to do that for myself, actually.
And nobody need be toiling under the bathing, under the action. Oh, I have nothing to record a podcast about. Sure, I wouldn't be able to know what to record a podcast about. I have literally books upon books of Creative Commons stuff that can be narrated and put into a podcast. No excuse there for anybody. get in contact with me and I'll make sure we can volunteer you for something. Nary a problem there, sir.
Yep. Good stuff.
All right, that would be my best Irish accent there. Did you notice? Oh, sure, we got it.
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's it, Dave. We're done. This has possibly been the worst HBR community news that we've had, but I'm sure we can drag it down even further if we apply ourselves.
Yep. So, yes, we needed Rowan along to keep us on the straight
keep
and narrow,
us in,
probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But good. No, it's good. It didn't take too long, so that's fine.
Okay, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.